May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this morning is recorded in the 126th Psalm. Here are selected verses from that. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Fellow redeemed in Christ. It's a dark page in American history, a land grab that featured millions of acres in the southeast corner of our country. The Indian Removal Act empowered the federal government to seize Indian land, all the land east of the Mississippi, and relocate its occupants to the frontier west. A signed treaty made it legal, but being legal is not the same as being ethical. When tribe members resisted, they incurred the might of the U.S. Army. The Indians were rounded up like cattle and forced down a 1,200-mile trail, sometimes in shackles, often without food, water, or medical care. The people who were too old or too feeble to keep pace were simply abandoned. The trail west became known as the Trail of Tears. There have been other trails of tears in history, the death marches of Germany, the March of Bataan in the Philippines, even the Trail of Tears in your life today. Not a forced march, but the suffering, the disappointments, the personal regrets, the bitter consequences of living in a sinful world. It's easy to praise God when the economy is roaring and everything is great. How can you praise Him from a trail of tears? Our text today reminds us that the God we worship is the God who turns our tears into laughter. No matter what, He keeps His promises. No matter when, He brings us safely to glory. Psalm 126 is one of the traveling songs that the Jewish people sang as they headed up to Jerusalem. It doesn't describe a trail of tears. In fact, it describes the opposite. This is about God bringing His people back from captivity in Babylon. We don't have much information about the forced march to Babylon, but it doesn't take too much imagination to think of what happened. Nebuchadnezzar conquered the Jews in 605 BC. His policy was to leave them live in their own land as long as they paid tribute and did not revolt. 8 years later, he had to return to remove the disobedient King Jehoiakim from the throne. Nebuchadnezzar then placed Zedekiah on the throne in his stead. When Zedekiah revolted a few years later, Nebuchadnezzar returned with a vengeance. He laid siege to Jerusalem in January of 588. By 586, the residents were starving. Those who tried to escape were killed. For the rest, it would be a forced march to Babylon. As you'd expect, the sick and feeble, the children who were too large to carry but too small to keep pace, were either killed or abandoned. Can you imagine the heartbreak? In some ways you can. Death is very much on the trail of tears that we walk. Death invades our homes, upends our plans. It leaves us feeling hollow, sad, and helpless. And it's not just death. broken hearts, failed dreams, ruined relationships, the ultrasound that no longer picks up a heartbeat. None of these were part of God's plan for mankind. All of them occur because we are sinners living in a fallen world. Is there guilt on your trail of tears? Guilt follows us, doesn't it? No matter how many tears I shed, no matter how many years go by, no matter how many times I'm forgiven, I can't go back and retrieve the words that I spoke or undo the damage that I caused. All I can do is wish that I had been more careful, more loving, more obedient. Maybe your tears are financial in nature. You're buried in debt, worried about overdrafts, wondering where the rent money will come from. You're trying to make ends meet on whatever is left of your Social Security. It could be fear that hangs over you as you worry about your family or the prospect of growing old or all the what-ifs that life throws at you. As long as we're on this earth, investments will go bad, crops will fail, accidents will happen, and death will separate us from the people we love. Every one of us has their own trail of tears in this life. And that's why this psalm is such great news. The psalmist writes, "When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream, that our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue was singing. Then they said among the nations, 'The Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad.'" In spite of their sins, God kept his word. The trail of tears was replaced with the sheer joy of going back home. God promised that before it ever happened. He would turn their sorrow, not just into joy, but into outright laughter. God keeps his promises, and he does it in his typical and awesome way. God used a heathen king to chasten his people. God used another heathen king to set them free. Cyrus not only let them return, he financed the trip for them. God used Pharaoh to bring Jacob's family down to Egypt, where it would grow into a nation. Then he used another Pharaoh to get them to leave Egypt behind. From Genesis through Revelation, the pattern is the same. No matter what, God keeps his promises. God always keeps his word. At the end of November, we'll be expected to count our blessings and offer thanks in return. But thanking God never depends on what kind of year we've had. There's no question that we all enjoy a standard of living that's beyond the dreams of people throughout this world. But our gratitude is not based on our prosperity. It's based on God's grace. Another year on the trail of tears in this life. Another year where God has been 100% faithful to us and to the promises he's made. Now, whether we see it or not, God shapes history. He moves mountains. He causes plans to fail or succeed in order to bless us. And the time is coming when our tears will be replaced by complete, unmitigated joy. The problems we had here on this earth do not and cannot begin to compare with the glory that will be revealed in us. And so if it's been a difficult year for you, then remember that God is at work in order to bring us safely to glory. How do I know? Look at Jesus. He was on a trail of tears. He had to be taken to Egypt to flee the wrath of King Herod. His life was filled with disappointment and frustration. He came to his own, but his own did not receive him. Jesus was hated by the church leaders from his very first visit to the temple at the start of his ministry. When the timing was right, God allowed the Jewish leaders to falsely condemn and put his son to death. Jesus struggled down the Via Dolorosa, the way of sorrows, from Pilate's courtroom to Calvary's cross. And yet not once was he concerned about himself. He was more concerned about the world of sinners he came to save. And then, just when you think things couldn't have gotten any worse, he faced the most brutal reality of all. He was forsaken by his heavenly Father, cursed with the hell that our sins deserved. He traded places with you and with me so that one day he could turn our tears into eternal joy. The resurrection made that possible. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Sow in tears, reap with joy. What does it mean? While we are still on this side of heaven, we shouldn't be alarmed when plans get frustrating and fail. But we should also never forget that the victory is already ours in Christ. With Paul, you can look life's trials in the eye, and you can confess, "Who shall separate me from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Martin Rinkhart was a Lutheran pastor in Eilenburg, Germany during the 30 Years' War. In just 2 years' time, 8,000 people from his community died. Among them were Rinkhart's wife and his fellow pastor. The records show that he buried as many as 70 people each day, 4,800 in a single year. Rinkhart lost all of his personal property and possessions. And yet, he wrote the hymn, "Now Thank We All Our God." Rinkhart understood that life is a trail of tears, but our God is the God who turns our tears into laughter. Amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.